Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine Podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we've got something really exciting to dive into.
And I'm Alex. Jamie, I've been looking at this new research and, honestly, it's kind of mind-blowing. We're talking about microtubules here, right? Those little structures inside our cells?
Exactly. But here's the thing. We've always thought of microtubules as these passive structures, you know? Like they're just sitting there, responding to signals. But this new study from Choi and colleagues completely flips that idea on its head.
Right. So they're not just passive. They're actually what? Like sensors?
Exactly. The researchers are calling them spatiotemporal signal sensors. So microtubules aren't just downstream responders. They're actually upstream mediators in signaling pathways. They're both receiving and sending signals.
Okay. That's fascinating. So how does this actually work? Like, what's the mechanism here?
So the team focused on this protein called GEFH1. It's a guanine nucleotide exchange factor. What they discovered is that microtubules actually bind to a specific domain in GEFH1 called the C1 domain. And when they do that, they basically lock it down, keeping it inactive.
Oh, so it's like the microtubules are holding on to these signaling proteins, keeping them in check.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really cool. When the microtubules depolymerize or change their structure, they release GEFH1. And once it's released, boom, it activates this whole ROA signaling pathway that affects things like cell movement, immune responses, all sorts of critical cellular processes.
Wait, so this is like a sequestration and release mechanism? The microtubules are literally storing these proteins until they're needed?
Yes. They're calling it the microtubule sequestration and release model, or MSR for short. And what's even more impressive is that they didn't just study this in a test tube. They used cryo-electron microscopy to actually see the structure of how GEFH1's C1 domain binds to microtubules.
Cryo-EM, that's where they freeze the proteins and image them at near atomic resolution, right?
Exactly. And what they found is that the C1 domain binds between two adjacent protofilaments on the microtubule surface. It's this really specific interaction involving multiple contact points with the tubulin subunits.
So it's not just floating around nearby. It's locked into a very particular spot on the microtubule structure. That's pretty precise.
Right. And here's what makes this even more significant for medicine. You know how cancer drugs like Taxol work by disrupting microtubules? Well, it turns out a lot of their effects, like changes in cell migration and gene expression, might not be directly from breaking up microtubules.
Oh, interesting. So it's actually because they're releasing proteins like GEFH1?
Exactly. The drugs destabilize microtubules, which releases GEFH1, which then activates ROA signaling. And this has huge implications for immunotherapy. The researchers showed that this pathway is critical for dendritic cell maturation, which is essential for anti-tumor immune responses.
So this could potentially help us develop better cancer vaccines or immunotherapies?
Potentially, yes. And what's really clever is that the team actually engineered mutant versions of GEFH1 that can't bind to microtubules. And guess what? These mutants mimicked the effects of microtubule-disrupting drugs without actually needing to disrupt the microtubules.
That's actually brilliant. So you could potentially activate immune cells without all the side effects of chemotherapy drugs.
That's the idea. Now it's early days, but it opens up some really interesting therapeutic possibilities. And here's another cool finding. GEFH1 isn't the only protein that works this way. The researchers identified C1 domains in several other signaling proteins that also bind microtubules.
So this might be a more general mechanism, not just specific to GEFH1?
Exactly. They looked at proteins like AKAP13, RAS-F1A, which is actually a tumor suppressor, RAF1, and others. And several of these also bind microtubules through their C1 domains. So this could be a widespread way that cells regulate signaling.
That's really elegant when you think about it. The cell is using the microtubule network as this kind of regulatory platform for all these different signaling pathways.
Right. And it makes sense evolutionarily, too. Microtubules are already this dynamic network that responds to mechanical and biochemical signals. So they're perfectly positioned to integrate information and coordinate cellular responses.
So instead of thinking about microtubules as just the cell skeleton, we should think of them as more like a signaling hub.
Exactly. A signaling hub that's constantly sensing and responding to changes in the cellular environment. And what's really important is that this study provides the structural basis for understanding how this works. Before this, we knew microtubules affected signaling, but we didn't really understand the molecular details.
And now with these structures, researchers can start to design specific interventions. Maybe drugs that target these interactions?
Potentially. Though as always with basic research, we're talking about future possibilities. But yeah, understanding the structure gives you a roadmap for rational drug design. You could imagine molecules that either strengthen or weaken these microtubule protein interactions, depending on what you're trying to achieve therapeutically.
This is really fascinating stuff. So just to wrap up, what's the main takeaway here for our listeners?
I'd say the main takeaway is that we need to rethink how we view microtubules. They're not just passive structural elements. They're active participants in cell signaling. They're sensors that can detect changes in the cell and respond by releasing or sequestering signaling proteins. And this has implications for everything from understanding basic cell biology to developing new cancer therapies.
And it all comes down to these C1 domains binding to specific sites on the microtubule lattice. Pretty amazing that such a specific molecular interaction can have such broad cellular effects.
That's biology for you. Small changes at the molecular level cascading into major cellular responses. All right, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us on the Origine podcast.
Thanks, everyone. Until next time.